Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to talk to you about Halloween this morning. Normally, I don't tell you what, a Christian lives out of step with the world. Really, politics and things, but sometimes you've got to speak up and sort of make sure everybody's on the same page. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's read verse 11 and 12, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, all throughout history, pagans in every culture have consulted dark arts for help. Seances, the casting of spells, channeling, that's not changing channels either, levitation, seeking visions, miracles, signs, and wonders from the sky, even the sacrificing of not just animals, but of children. Folks, people all their lives have lived in the fear of death and have done extreme things in order to counteract that fear. Oh, but the religious leaders, they capitalized on people's fears and they became rich just by keeping people afraid. Along came the Bible, amen. God said, have nothing to do with the things that make afraid. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, if you're a born-again child of God, you have nothing to fear anymore. There is no fear of death once you have one focus. That is the fear of God. And you learn to trust God and believe with all your heart, all other fears fade away. We don't have to fear darkness. We don't have to fear the devil. Because the darkness of this world has been defeated. John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness anymore. Do you know what is so sad, though? People love darkness. They love darkness rather than God. They actually hate the light, like somebody who's been asleep and you turn on the light and they say, turn it off, turn it off. It's really a shame that one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, go to John chapter 3, describes our culture and our world today. John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world, you probably could quote this, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's a good part of the verb of the book, amen? You just believe and God takes your condemnation away. But he that believeth not, doesn't say anything about joining a church, doesn't say anything about getting baptized, doesn't tell you that you have to be a good person. It says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Who is the light? Who was the light? And what did they do to him? They crucified him. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You don't like preaching? You don't like the Bible? You don't like gospel singing? You don't like coming to church? I got one conclusion about you. You love sin. Now, every one of us sin. Every one of us battle with temptations. That's a given. It's what you love and what you hate. Verse 20 again, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. You don't want to be told on. You don't want to be exposed. You don't want somebody saying you're wrong. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, loves following Jesus, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Now, people love darkness because their deeds, their works, their lifestyles are evil. 75% of all TV programs and movies are not full of light. They're full of adultery. They're full of fornication. I mean, you're just sitting there innocently, and one guy meets a girl, and in 14 minutes, they're already passionately in love. It's like, where does that exist in real life? 75% of all TV programs and movies are full of adultery, fornication, full of hatred, envy, lust, thievery, blasphemies. When was the last time you watched a movie that didn't take God's name in vain? Rebellion, stubbornness, full of evil, full of darkness. The bookshelves, you go into Easton's, and the bookshelves are full of dark arts, dark acts, dark words, dark thoughts. It is said that 40% of the internet, all the information is on the internet, what you normally go looking for, 40% of what is being transferred on the internet is pornography. 40% of all the information is all for the lusts of men. The predominant music for the past 60 years has been rock music. And rock music is simply all about sex, drugs, and the pleasures and of rebellion. The joy of rebellion. Men love darkness rather than light. And so we come to Halloween. Go to Luke chapter 23. Back a few pages, find Luke chapter 23 and verse 53. Luke 23, Jesus That's not what it was. Maybe it's 22:53. No? 20. Well, it's when Jesus said, this is the hour. This is when Jesus was in the garden. He said, this is the hour. Thank you. 22:53. When I was daily, Jesus has a crowd around him. Look in verse 52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, they came to capture him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, where all he was doing was praying, his disciples were asleep, and they came out as if he was the worst terrorist and criminal ever. It was the hour of darkness. And let me just say, we come to a time called Halloween. I'm going to ask you, do you really believe it's innocent fun? Oh, Pastor, it's just another bank holiday. It really is safe for children and teens and adults. Do you really believe that? It's just, Pastor, a bit of fear never hurt anyone, huh? Well, I may not be able to influence Westgate, all these fun items they hang up, or the Dunn stores and shopping centers and things, and I may not be able to influence all the pastors out there, the parents out there, but for those of us who love God, those of us who love the Bible, I would like to influence some pastors because there are some dumb preachers out there. I went to a church one time. I have to be honest. I've been around some churches that had haunted houses in their church in order to get kids to come in so they could, quote, preach the gospel to them. You don't use the devil's fear. You don't. The fear of God is enough, amen? But anyway, I want to help some parents in here to do two things. I want to do two things this morning. One is to get you to walk in the light, to live in the light, to just consistently stay in the light and have nothing to do with the darkness of Halloween. You say, oh, well, my kids dress up as superheroes. I know that, but next year, they'll adapt, and then when they come teenagers, they will not stay superheroes. They will not stay Iron Man. They'll be a zombie. They'll end up, I saw a couple years back, one of these teenagers, they were walking around, and they had a mask, and they had a hatchet stuck in their head, walking around from door to door. And I bet their mom and dad dressed them up as Bob the Builder when they were 9 years old. You say, well, it's just a bit of fun. You don't know where it's leading. Get you to walk in the light and have nothing to do with Halloween. And let me say secondly, to get everyone to worry about staying clear of every work of darkness. Did you know that the devil is not active only on one day out of the year? He doesn't just, oh, I can actually operate and actually scare people and actually damn people on Halloween. No, he does it every day of the week and of the year. So don't just worry about Halloween. I don't want you to have anything to do with Halloween, but I want you to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That includes a lot of things. Let's bow in prayer. Father, this is not a light subject. It's not something we can just sort of just, oh, poo-hoo. There is a real devil. And there is a real reason why Halloween has become so powerfully influencing of people. And why fear is so addictive. Lord, we need to be aware of what we're battling against. And we need to make some decisions this morning. Who are we going to fear? What are we going to do with our lives? We have something much better. We can walk in the light. We can have fellowship one with another. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't want to be under that sin again. I don't want to be messing with anything dark anymore. So Lord, help us today to walk in the light. As I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Back to Ephesians. And while you're turning there, to most people, everything is a laugh today. Everything's a laugh. Especially dark things, shameful things. Ephesians chapter 5. We read it. We'll read it again. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. And have no fellowship. Listen to that word. Don't welcome it into your home. Have no fellowship. I can't get rid of it, but I don't fellowship with it. Do you see what I'm saying? I can't go around and tell everybody, take that off of your house, do this. No, but I will have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Show them where they're wrong. Convince them that that is wrong. For it is a shame. Used to be a shame to talk about the things that people talk about on the radio. Used to be you could listen to somebody tell a story and you'd trust that there'd be no filthy innuendos in it. Used to be we just sort of had a limit for what was allowed to be said and talked about, but no, there's no shame today. Paul says it is a shame, whether you agree with it or not, it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. People make a mockery of things like horror movies. I don't know, there's a huge industry out there, big money, scaring people. People laugh at fear. People laugh at costumes that children are wearing today. I mean, think about the costumes that kids are wearing. Demons and monsters and vampires and werewolves and ghosts and mummies and psychopaths and witches. Oh, they're all cute. Oh, really? You see, when you start to laugh at the things that are dark and wrong, you'll end up laughing at a guy who dresses up as a fat woman and runs around calling himself Mrs. Brown. Yeah. There's a new movie out called Queen of Ireland, Rory O'Neill. You know why everybody's going to watch that? Because they pity him. Oh, look what he had to endure when he was a child. Let's see how liberated he is. He's possessed, folks. He's in bondage. I pray for him. Ask God to open his eyes and open his heart that he needs Jesus Christ. He doesn't need a movie about his life. He needs a new life, folks. But people laugh at it. People mock it, and they'll get to the point where people even laugh at and mock at the abortion bus going around Ireland right now, handing out abortion pills. It's a big laugh, folks. It's just a woman's choice. It's a wart being removed. That's all abortion is. And yet we're told, now all that is a mockery. That's all laughter. But yet we're told to take climate change really serious. Yeah, right. Used to be global cooling, then it became global warming. Now it's just climate change. We're told to take Ebola seriously. We're told to take life in outer space seriously. No, no, no. And yet they laugh at that. To most everybody today, everything is just a laugh. Folks, let me tell you, God's people don't live in the dark. I need you to go to Exodus now. Go back to the left. Exodus. Genesis, Exodus. Chapter 10. The nation of Israel was in slavery. They were surrounded by a nation called Egypt that had no respect to them, that only kept them in bondage there. And so Moses comes along and says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin." So Moses says in the original, "Well, heavy, heavy is going to hang on your head." So he walks out and he begins to bring some of the most incredible disasters you've ever imagined onto the countryside and amongst the people. And one of them was he brought darkness into the world. Look at Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21. "The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt." That means a kind of darkness that is so dark that it is terrifying. "And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They saw not one another. When they would light a candle, the light would just stay right there. It wouldn't shine. You couldn't see where you were going. Normally, you have a light or you have a torch and you can see around you. The light didn't go anywhere. So nobody moved. It says they saw not one another. Neither rose any from his place. For 3 days they just sat there in terror. But all the children of Israel, they had light in their dwellings." You see, God's people, we don't live in the darkness anymore. We've been moved. Amen. We've got some light. None of us would join with a rioting crowd of people walking down the street carrying knives, would we? "Oh, yeah, let me get my knife." Well, then why would we dress up and act like we look like we're in a part of a riot going from house to house with knives? Do you understand what I'm asking? This past week I was in Cork City. I forget what day it was. I had to go in. I was into Cork. And I passed by a college-age woman who walked by me and I'm too empathetic. I couldn't be a doctor because I'd probably pass out. But her face had a gash here, and it had been sewn up, and I felt pity on her. I went, "Wow, what kind of a fight did this girl get in, man? It looked fresh. It looked like it had just been sewn up, like she had just been released from Cork University Hospital." I was shook up that she had experienced such a tragic incident. Then I passed by another lady with another bloody gash on her face. And then I saw a young man pass by me with blood on his neck and his shirt, like somebody had attempted to cut off his neck, his head. And I went, "It's Halloween." Wow. Folks, I fear for those young people. They're playing with fire. Oh, they're just having a bit of fun. I know that's what they think, but I'm going to tell you the truth here. It's not fire they're playing with. It's a devil. Have no fellowship with the works, the deeds, the lifestyles of those in darkness. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 22. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22 says this very simply: abstain from anything that looks really bad. Is that what it says? No. It is abstain from all appearances of evil. Anything that looks evil, don't join in with it. That means Halloween parties? Sorry, I'm not going. Trick-or-treating? No, I'm not going. I abstain. You say, you're one of those old-fashioned, you know, I don't have any fun. You just want to sit on your Todd at home and twiddle your thumbs. Are you kidding? I think I have more fun than 19 people together. I think on Saturday when we have our light tonight, we have an absolute blast. We're not saying don't have fun. We're saying have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. There are things that are wrong to play with. There are things. I remember being a child. I was about 6 years old. And it was a match infatuated me. I remember my dad lighting the fire. We lived in Texas. We got a fire once a year. It never got cold. But I remember my dad lighting the fire in the fireplace and sitting there, and I went, that looks like fun. So I took the box with me into my room, closed the door, sat down, struck the match. Ooh. And I had a rubbish bin, and I threw it in the rubbish bin. And then I struck another one. I was having fun until when I threw it in there, it still had an ember, and the trash can got on fire. I was having fun. You know, my dad cured me of that, you know. He was not a politically correct gentleman. My dad comes in, and he said in the most wonderful, sweetest voice, "What have you been doing?" Picked me up, pulled me out of the room. The room was filled with smoke. Took that thing, that rubbish bag, ran out of the house, put water all over it, and came in there and says, "We're going to learn you not to play with matches." He says, "Isn't that a pretty match, Craig?" And he wrapped his big arm around my hand, and he had me strike that match and hold that match. He said, "Now look at it. Look at it, son." And that big old hand wrapped around my hand. He said, "Now watch it." I went, "Daddy, it's getting low." He says, "How does it feel?" I said, "It hurts." And at the last second, he blew it out, and he said, "Let's do it again." And I must have done it 50 times. I never picked up another match until I was in Boy Scouts 10 years later. Amen. I was playing with fire. Amen. Could have burned the house down. Oh, was I having fun? Yes, I was. Was there a limit to where I should be having fun? Yes, there is. As a Christian especially, we are told not to even have the appearance of it. We're commanded to get rid of dark things in our lives. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go to the left. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know what? I love my dad. You say, "Your dad was a cruel dad." No, he was a messed up dad just like I am. He's a sinner. He had things, all kinds of things he was trying to do. But you know what? He did his best. He loved me, and he didn't want me to do wrong and end up dead. Amen. You say, "Well, I wouldn't do that way." Well, let's see which one of us turn out better. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, start down there in verse 14. I want you to see that we are commanded to get rid of dark things in our lives. Verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Unequally yoked means married or having a partnership where they control your life. "For what fellowship," see that word? How do you get along? How does righteousness get along with unrighteousness? "What communion hath light with darkness?" They don't go together. When the light comes on, where does the darkness go? Out. It's gone. Turn the light off, darkness takes over again. They don't get along, do they? "And what concord, what joining hath Christ with Belial," which is another word for the devil. "What part hath he which believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God," and that's our bodies, that's our life, "what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Why would you take what God is living in and take it and go and live amongst demons? Verse 17, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate." Not saith Paul, not saith pastor, not saith the church. Who says it? Saith the Lord, "And touch not the unclean, the ungodly thing, and I will receive you." What purpose would any Christian have reading a horoscope every day? "Oh, I wonder if I'm going to meet Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome today." What purpose would a Christian consult with a witch for? Why would they turn on a 96 FM and listen? Does that white witch of Cork ever show up again? If you know about it, I'm going to come after you. Why would Christians turn to fortune tellers? Why would they seek to channel? You know, there are people who train gullible people to sit down and chant and put themselves into a hypnotic trance so that they can hear voices and feel like they're communicating with the dead. You're only communicating with demons. Some people really get all of these desires to cast spells and try to be like Harry Potter. I don't know if they're very popular here, but they still sell a board game called a Ouija board, and a Ouija board is called a yes, yes board. Monsieur? Ja. German. It's a yes, yes board. It'll tell you what you want it to say. But it's not a game, folks. Those things are a doorway back to the darkness that we're saved from. Seances? Why would a Christian ever mess with a seance? The Bible calls it necromancy. Necromancy is a much better word for seance. Necro is dead. Romance, loving the dead, intimate with the dead. You don't mess with dead things, folks. The clear command is to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Explain to your coworkers why you're not going to the Halloween party. Tell your neighbors, hey folks, we've had more eggs wasted on our windows because we weren't out trick-or-treating, our lights weren't on, we weren't handing out candy. So, what do? You tell them, I'm a Christian. I walk in the light. I don't go that way anymore. That stuff's the opposite of what I want to be like. And the Bible says to have no fellowship with it. I'm not against you. I just won't join you. I'm sorry. Thank you very much for inviting me. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be in church. You ought to be in church too. Amen. By the way, why? Why in the world would we worry about Halloween? Because we serve a holy God. This is not our religion, folks. This is a relationship that we have. Who am I trying to stay close to? Take your Bible now. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter, almost to the book of Revelation. After the book of Hebrews, find the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. As obedient children, that's what we're supposed to be like. Not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You don't dress up like you used to. Don't follow the fashions of your previous way of living. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, every area of your life. Because it is written, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. What does that mean? It means God is clean. It means he's good. It means he's pure. It means he's full of light. Go to your right a little bit further. Keep going until you hit 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Be ye holy. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. See, God doesn't have a Halloween party up in heaven every once in a while and say, let's have some fun, Michael. Hey, Gabriel, hey, you dress up as the devil this time. No, there's no darkness in him at all. Amen? Do you get the thing? God is clean, pure, he's light. We're supposed to be just like him. Be ye holy, just as I am holy, God says. Remember, Christianity is not getting God in our back pocket. We pull him out only when, and we use him only when we need him. That's not what God is for. Christianity is about being forgiven, washed on the inside, cleaned up, and following Jesus so we can be more and more like him. Wouldn't the world be a whole lot better place if there were a lot of people who were trying to be like Christ instead of trying to be like the devil? You know what? You will, this is a great thought. You will become like what you worship. You really will. You worship money, you'll become cold, hard, and empty just like it is. I read of an airplane crash back in the 70s. A very wealthy man freezing up in I don't know if it's the Andes Mountains in Chile, if I'm correct in that. I just know that this It was snowing. It was freezing. Back in the 70s, he had a suitcase full of money. The people starving and freezing. You know what he had to do with that money? He burned it, trying to get some fire out of it. And the wind just blew it all away. You know, if you love that money, that's how you're going to end up. Cold and empty and no good for nobody. You worship lust, you'll become so selfish and fake, just like the porn you're addicted to. Amen. You worship pleasure, you'll become used and abused just by everyone else who's also seeking selfish pleasures. You worship idols, you'll end up lifeless just like them. Psalm 115 says this: their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, these are their idols, but they have not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. You start worshiping an idol, that's all you're going to ever become. I worship the living God, the greatest of all beings in this universe, the greatest I can ever be like is Him. I don't want to be like a stone. I don't want to be like money. I don't want to be like fake love on the internet. I want to be like Jesus. You understand? You become like what you worship. And what do you worship? That's why it's so important that in your home, in your life, you thoroughly seek to be more and more like the living Lord. Because only He can make someone holy. Amen. So I told you about a clear command. Let me tell you about a destroying devil. 1 Peter chapter 5. You're in 1 John. Go back to left just a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. That means be very aware. Don't nod off. Don't ignore this. Be sober. Be vigilant, on guard, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may tickle. You know, we teach our children all about God, but we don't tell them there is a devil who does not want to play with them. He wants to devour them. Listen, folks, the devil is very real. He's not make-believe. There are real witches. Do you know that? You say, there aren't real witches. They aren't even real. You're stupid. If there are no witches, look at Galatians chapter 5. You can leave this now. Go to left, find Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, the things that the flesh normally does are manifest. They're easily seen, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. What's the next one? Witchcraft. There are very real witches. There are people that practice witchcraft. There are real spells, folks. They're called charmers in the Bible. You know, somebody says, oh, he's a real charmer. A charm is somebody who casts spells. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 says there's to be no charmers. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be charming. But the point being that you can't play with dark arts that you think will control and manipulate someone else. And a lot of people try it. That's how a lot of people treat prayer. The only prayer that they pray is to manipulate others. You'll get that one day. Listen, Satan is very real. He promotes real fears. Don't you mock the things that people make big of fears today. Don't play with them because they are real. There are people who commit suicide or who have heart attacks because of fear. The devil plays with fear. There are real demons. And by the way, there is a real hell. Funny how modern man decided all these things are fake. But you know, half of the population of this world, outside of the Western world, half the population of this world knows the devil's real, and they run into him at least once in their life. I have a missionary friend who was a missionary in the Congo. He's still there to this day. And back 1983, 84, after I got saved, I remember hearing him preach. And he said, I have to show you guys something. And I'm going to show you so that you dumb, stupid, this is how he talked. You dumb, stupid Western Americans who think there's no devil, think there's no demons, that all the stuff is all just hocus pocus, it's not real, that voodoo is just play, it's not real. He said, I took a camera and I recorded these witch doctors running around inside the circle of a lot of people chanting. They had been chanting for days in a stupor after taking a very strong concoction. These witch doctors would come through and take out these knives and plunge it into their abdomen and pull it out, and then would do it again, and then would pull it out, and the blood would begin to appear and then would disappear. And I'm telling you, it scared me to death. You say, that doesn't happen. Yes, it does. I don't like to give the devil much credit, but I know too much about what the devil can do. I know what people have told me and what they've experienced, and half of it I believe, because I know he's real. The best place the devil has a person in is where the devil gets you to believe he doesn't exist. He's very real. He's not only that, he's very deceptive. You know how he appears, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as an angel of light, especially to us Westerners. He appears as a good guy. He always has the name politician after him. Anyway. But he's the best liar. He's the best deceiver. He's the best car salesman on the planet. He's the father of lies, Jesus calls him. He's a very capable miracle worker. If you ever see a miracle today, and God is still a miracle worker, but if you see somebody supposedly raising the dead or somebody curing some disease or whatever, if it is ever true, and rarely is it ever, if it ever is true, it's usually the work of the devil. Go to Lourdes, people drinking the water there, don't drink the water there. Go to Fatima, go to Medjugorje, miracles maybe, but false miracles for sure. The devil's a deceiver. If he can get people, his goal is to lure ignorant, stubborn, pleasure-seeking people to their doom. And he'll do it any way he can. He'll do it religiously. He'll do it on the internet. He'll do it any way he can. He's very deceptive. Best thing you've got is somebody who'll tell you straight up to your face, this is wrong, according to the Word of God, not according to feeling. Somebody said, but I know what I saw. I don't care what you saw. You may have seen somebody rise out of the dead, but don't believe it came from God. He's very deceptive. He's very powerful, too. The second most powerful being in this universe is Satan. He is called the God of this world. The God of this world. He is the God that most of this world worships. He's called the prince and the power of the air. Ask Job where that hurricane came from. Or the tornado. Ask Job where that firestorm came from that killed his family. Ask Job what destroyed all of his crops. The devil came along. He's the prince and the power of the air. They say that hurricane that hit Mexico is now dumping 18 inches of rain all over Texas. It's the strongest hurricane in history. 200 miles an hour winds. Highest category of a Category 5 hurricane ever. You know what? That's nothing what the devil can do. That's only the beginning of what's up ahead of us, folks. He's called the son of perdition. That's the son of hell. Who wants to be known as the son of hell? Satan does. He's called the great dragon in Revelation chapter 12. He's called the prince of this world in John chapter 12. He's referred to as our adversary, our most powerful enemy. Be sober, be vigilant for your adversary. But go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 10. He's very destructive. Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal. You ever have a thief in your house? You're not going to say, you want to watch television? He didn't come to watch TV. He came to take it. Amen? Hello? The thief cometh not but for to steal. That's all he came for. and to kill. And to what? I am come, Jesus says, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Who's he referring to as a thief? He's dealing with Satan. And he says, Satan comes into your life. Did you know Satan's never done anything good for anybody ever? He got you to pick up that cigarette and start choking on it, taking that thing, and you choked and you turned green, but he convinced you, this is cool. He never did you one good thing one day of your life. He got you to take the first look on that internet there at that porn site. He got you to hang with that good-looking girl that first day. He never did one good thing for you. He came only to do one thing, rob you, kill you, and then destroy you. He never did one good thing for you. He's very powerful. And by the way, he's very successful. He's very successful. He destroys Christian lives. You say, I'm a Christian. Satan can't touch me anymore. Are you stupid in any other area? Think about it. I'm being quite serious. Satan can't touch me. I'm a child of God. We just read in 1 Peter, be sober to Christians, be vigilant, Christians, for your adversary, you still have an adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. He can devour Christians. He devours Christian marriages. He devours Christian teenagers' lives. Look at what, here's a young lady, here's a young man. They're 16 years old, and the pressure on them to sell out and to join in with the crowd so that by the time they're 22, 23, 24, and they're ready to get married, they have nothing to give. There's nothing there at the marriage altar to give. They've given it all away already. Who convinced them to do that? It wasn't mama and daddy. He's very destructive. He destroys homes. He destroys minds. He destroys. There are people to this day who are saved just like you and I, born again, reading their Bible, and they can't sleep at night. Because some friend convinced them to start taking ecstasy, taking a drug here, taking a drink here, going to this disco there, going and doing that, and now they're burned out. The devil's very successful. He's very destructive. Why would anyone play with such a creature? Why don't you dress up your little Johnny as a demon, as a devil? Why don't you do that? Folks, there's a lot to work on. This is where you've been quiet, now you're really going to get quiet. A lot of this applies to Halloween. And no Christian in this room should have anything to do with the celebration of Halloween. You shouldn't give out candy at the door. You shouldn't even be home. You should be here. You should not decorate your home with witches and ghosts and jack-o'-lanterns. Instead, you should come out to church. You should be here and listen to preaching and singing and have light and fun and forget that it's Halloween. We don't even know it's Halloween out there. In here is a taste of heaven. But rejecting the fellowship with the works of darkness goes much further than one day out of the year. You know, if every Christian stayed away from participating in Halloween, the economy would collapse. They make billions of euros on all these stupid decorations. What woman in here wants to have a real spider hanging in their kitchen? And yet they decorate and the kids all make fun. Did you know having a paper witch on your door is nothing like having lust in your heart? Amen? Pornography is a work of darkness for sure. Would you agree with that? You say, Pastor, I'll never put a witch on my door. Will you put lust and ungodly pictures in your heart? You see where this is going now? You see, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works. Don't work. Listen, you should have nothing to do with Halloween, but you should have nothing to do with any work of darkness. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. To the right, Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Look at this. You should not have a witch on your door, shouldn't have a pentagram or stars or jack-o'-lanterns, but you shouldn't hold on to and protect your anger, your hatred, and your wrath either. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify, which means bury, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Listen to what are our members. Look at what is in us, folks. Fornication. You need to put it to death. Uncleanness. Uncleanness is unclean thoughts. Fornication is an unclean sex act when you're with somebody that's not your wife or when somebody is not, you're not married. Inordinate affection, that's unclean thoughts again, unclean loves, evil concupiscence, that's lust, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. God is upset at all that stuff going on. Verse 7. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now, not only put off those things, but put off all these. What should we put off, Pastor? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lying, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Folks, having anger, hatred, and wrath, having a house that has no idea that it's Halloween is a good house to have. That's only the outside. But having a life that still harbors anger and wrath and in the drop of a hat, malice towards somebody is more wicked as a work of darkness. How about withholding forgiveness and kindness? Simply because you don't think somebody is worthy of it. That's a work of darkness just as much as studying incantations and spells are. How about lying? Are you an easy liar? You know, I don't understand how people can just lie without thinking about it. But I run into it all the time. It's in the culture here, would you agree? People just lie. They just, sure, whatever. It should not be among us ever. You should never lie. Somebody catches you, own up to it. Amen. I said this. You know, you can help a lot of people. You can't help a liar. Amen. Because a liar has convinced himself, I'm okay. I didn't do anything wrong. How about covetousness? We read there, is it in Colossians? It should be there. 3. Yeah, verse 5. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, that's wrong affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. How many of you have an idol in your home? Don't raise your hand. I hope you don't. How many of you have a big statue of Blessed John the Baptist in there? Big statue of St. Anthony? You probably don't. But if every time you sit in front of that television and you go, I wish I had that car. Oh, I wish I had that wife. Oh, I wish I had those kind of kids. Oh, I wish I lived in that kind of... It's idolatry. And when you hold on to that idolatry, it's just as wicked as fornication, adultery, murder. It's a work of darkness, folks. How about stubbornness? When you're hard-hearted, when you'll sit through a message like this and you'll go, I am not going to agree with anything you say. You know what 1 Samuel chapter 15 says? Rebellion is as the sin of Halloween, of witchcraft. Wow. You know, if I were you, I'd right now unclench that fist, drop your guard and say, Lord, speak. Humble me. Don't let me go down the same stupid path I've always been going down and get myself into the unfruitful works of darkness. There's a lot to work on. Would you agree? We are called by, are you ready for this? We are called by God, 1 Peter chapter 2. Now look at our memory verse. We're actually going to be looking at it on Saturday. 1 Peter chapter 2. Got a few scriptures and we're done. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We are called by God out of darkness. 1 Peter 2, 9. Speaking to Christians, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous lights. God calls us to come out of the pubs, out of the discos, out from the porn, out from our past. Come out of it. We're called to separate ourselves from anything that is against Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:17, we read it there. It says, wherefore come out from among them anything that is against Christ and be ye separate. We're called to cast off the works of darkness. Look at Romans now. Go back to the left. Romans chapter 13. I hope you're looking up all these verses. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. You know, you may not agree with me, but the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You need to learn to agree with the Bible. Romans 13, verse 12. We'll look at verse 11. I don't know if we'll come back to here or not. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering. Chamber is a good word. Chambering means going from bedchamber to bedchamber to bedchamber. Isn't that what everybody's up to today? Not in that type of a lifestyle, in chambering, in wantonness. That's where there's no restraint, where you just do anything that feels good. Not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on His life. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We're told to cast off the works of darkness. Hey. Take a nap. And you feel something twitching on your hand. And you wake up and you look down on your arm. What would you do? Every one of you. Don't you say, oh, I think I'd keep it as a pet. You liar. You know what you'd do? It's already, Marzia back there, man, immediately, man. That thing is going to hit the wall at 90 miles an hour, amen. That's how you cast off the works of darkness. You don't go, do I keep this? Do I get rid of it? You throw them all off. Cast it off, man. And then you replace it. You replace that stuff so you don't have to be afraid anymore. Put on the armor of light. Don't be, look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Thank God we don't have to be afraid anymore. I'll ask you to raise your hands. Think about it for a minute. How many of you grew up and you had to have a light on in the hall or in your room when you were a little child? Come on, be honest. Most of you, come on. I'm not the only one. Come on, you. Half of you are lying. You know it. You need a light on. You're afraid of the dark. You know what? You get saved, you don't have to be afraid of the dark anymore. You don't have to be afraid of, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't have to be afraid of the second most powerful being in the universe. You don't have to be afraid of anything because my one and only focus is pleasing Him. I please God. He makes even my enemies at peace with me. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God had not given us the spirit of fear. No. The devil gives us fear. God gives us three powers to overwhelm one attack. I'm afraid. Well, look what God gives you. He gives you power and love and a sound mind when the devil's trying to make you afraid. Amen. Amen. Don't be afraid anymore. You can actually arm yourself. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Back to the left, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Arm yourself. There's a lot of work to do. Well, Pastor, I'm going to get rid of all. I'm not going to participate in Halloween. Halloween at all. Actually, call it Halloween. That'd be a good thing. I'm not going to participate in Halloween. I'm not going to go to the Halloween party. I'm not going to dress up as a vampire. I was going to go as a psychopath. But I won't do it now. I'm okay. I'll put the hatchet away. Good. Fine. Great. So the devil's going to leave me alone. No, he won't leave you alone. That's just one attack. He'll come from another attack. And what he'll do, folks, is he will bring you down another way. He'll get you onto the internet and onto the pornographic sites. He'll get you on the late night television, watching things you shouldn't be watching. He'll get you hanging with the friends who'll get you to do things that you never thought you'd ever be doing. He'll get you some way unless you get ready for battle. Unless you put on the whole armor of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Well, look in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, not just one or two pieces, but all of it, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the sneaky, cunning craftiness of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not having the battle with Michal Martin and Enda Kenny. You're not battling your neighbor. You're not battling your schoolmates. We wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, guys, arm yourselves and then wrestle. That's what it says. You're not wrestling against people. You're wrestling against spiritual wickedness, darkness. Go ahead and wrestle. You know what's good about it? I don't care how weak you are. Let's use an example. The smallest, I could take anybody, but I'm looking for somebody I won't embarrass. Let's see. Well, I tell you what. Lydia's doing great in gymnastics and things like this. But let's see. Lydia, she's got a bully that's three times her size, wants to come up there and wants to just throw her against the wall and make fun of her. So Lydia realizes, I've got a weapon. Her daddy gave her a tank for her birthday. So she goes and gets her tank and then drives up to the bully and says, "You want to take me on now?" You see, it doesn't matter her size, it matters the size of your weapon. Amen? And our weapons are far more powerful. As a matter of fact, when you wrestle against the devil, you cannot but win if you do it right. Take your Bible, go to Colossians chapter 1. You're in Ephesians, go two more books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. What did I say? Colossians, thank you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Start in verse 12. I have to start in verse 11. I'm sorry. This is so good. Strengthened with how much might? That's us. According to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in, amen, no more messing with darkness, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Folks, listen to that. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You're already a winner. You already have all you need. You just have to believe it. You just have to take on whatever comes at you and believe God. And when you wrestle as a victor. You don't wrestle going, "I wonder if I'm going to win this one." Jesus already won it for you. You know, when you start to rejoice as a victor, do you ever seen somebody go into a boxing ring? How do they talk? You imagine, you know what both boxers say? You go, "He's going down, man. He's going down. I tell you what, third round, I'm over him." Why are they doing that? You don't go in going, "I don't know if I can do this. I'm scared of this guy. I can't. If I go in there, I'm going to faint. I know I will." You don't go into a battle like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You go in saying, "He's going down." And he will. The devil does not have power over you unless you give it to him. And believe me, most Christians do. They walk right into his traps. So start living like a victor, man. And make light. Don't make light of your life. Make light your way of life. Back to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll finish. Ephesians chapter 5, back to the left. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness." That was our life before we got saved, folks. "But now are ye light in the Lord." That's what you are now. So walk as children of light. If you're saved, guess what you should do? Live like it. Amen. Have no fellowship. If you're saved, you don't act like you're not saved. I remember after I got saved, I tried to curse. I tried to swear. I tried to say something filthy. I couldn't. I felt so dirty. I felt so wrong. It just doesn't come out like it used to. Amen. And it shouldn't. Keep going there. Verse 9. "For the fruit of the Spirit," this is the result of the Spirit in your life, "is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." That's what's going to come out of your life. "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." And here's our verse. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Amen. That's how I want to live. I make light my way of living. I mean, my life's an open book. It should be. Somebody goes, "What do you do on Mondays, Pastor?" I'll tell you. Amen. I'm not, "Well, you know, I put on long red boots. I wear my underwear on the inside out, and I try and fly around the... No, I don't have an altar life. I don't have anything that I do on Monday that I don't do on Sunday and on Tuesday. My music is the same on Monday as it is on Tuesday as it is on Sunday. Amen. Are you with me? I walk, I'm supposed to walk as children of light. Here's the truth. You ready? Halloween's evil. Nod your head. Amen. Halloween's evil. It's out of hell. It's not for any Christian. It's not innocent fun. If you want fun, find it another way. It's not safe for children. Demons and sin is never safe. A bit of fear never hurt anyone. Well, the only fear anyone ever really needs is the fear of God. Secondly, God will give people what they fear. That's a truth most people don't realize. You want darkness? Hey, kids, you want the lights out? There's coming a day. In the book of Revelation, it says during the tribulation, God will turn the lights out. He'll darken the sun and he'll darken the moon, and people will gnash their teeth and their tongues for pain, because they will not even know that they're alive unless they feel pain. You want zombies? Hey, the big deal for the last 10 years have been movies about zombies. They have serials about zombies. They make fun of zombies. There is coming a day, according to the book of Revelation, where people will be slaughtered, but they won't die. They will cry out for the rocks to fall on them, and they won't be able to die. This world will be filled with zombies. You want zombies? They're coming. The world says, I love fear. You're going to get it. You want aliens from another planet? I wish they'd just come by. Stop by and say hi. They're coming. But they won't be aliens from... I'm trying to think of some of these planets. Like Cobalt or wherever all these other dumb planets are. They're going to be demons. And they're going to be devils of hell. You want disasters? Entire islands on this planet are going to disappear. You want disasters? The wind and the waves roaring and men's hearts failing, the Bible describes it as. You say, you really believe all that? Just like I believe John 3:16. The truth is, yes, Halloween is evil. God will give people what they fear. That's why I fear God. That's where my focus is. Whew. Witches, warlocks, demons, ghosts are not anything to be afraid of. God is. If God is real, and He is, you're going to answer Him one day, and you will not be ready unless you have an advocate, unless you have a Savior, unless you have somebody who will stand in your place and will defend and be on your side. You better fear God. You know why I got saved? Because I know there's a hell. Because I deserve it. And I found out there's a Savior who wanted to save me from a devil's hell and asked me just to trust Him. You see, Jesus Christ came to this world, defeated darkness, He defeated sin, He defeated Satan, and He even defeated death. He got up 3 days later and He says, there's nothing to worry about anymore. If He can fix death, He can fix anything. Amen? What are you afraid of? I remember when I got saved, the night I got saved, the pastor said, are you afraid of what people are going to think when you come and take my hand and say, I want to get saved, and we'll pray with you, show you the scriptures one more time, ask you to trust Christ? What are you afraid of? Are you going to go to hell for them? You worried about what your friends are going to think? You worried about what your mom's going to say? You're worried about what your dad's going to think? You're worried about what your friends are going to say about you? You've got some religion. Oh, you went over the top. Are you going to go to hell for any of them? I wouldn't. Here's the truth. Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, came to this world. He defeated everything so He could save you. But He can't save you till you want Him to. Here's the challenge. You got a choice that you need to make. Go to Micah, last scripture. Micah. Go to Matthew and then go left, and you'll find a little book called Micah. So from Matthew, just start turning left, page by page, you'll see a little book called Micah. Micah is that book where it foretells about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. We're not going there to find out right now. Micah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, they're all three together there, you'll see them. Micah, chapter 4, in verse 5. Look at it. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God. That's a fact. Everybody's just going to do their own thing. They're going to do what they want to do. And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. I like that. You know, you're the person sitting next to you may just do whatever they want. They may go to their parties. They may do their drinking. They may think there's nothing to it. Let them do it. What are you going to do? We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. That's a choice you got to make. You say, well, my friend, I'll be alone. Oh, my, no, you won't be alone if you come here on Saturday night. You won't miss a thing. You got a choice to make. The whole world is going to laugh. Oh, let me give you an illustration before I give you that. You know why a ship sinks? You ready? Not because it's surrounded by water. Hello? Ships don't sink. The water is not the problem. Unless it gets in. Amen? You may be completely surrounded by evil, darkness, satanic oppression. You know, we live in a very free country. We live in a country that has immense blessings of God on it. Light is in our Constitution honors the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, things about this country are amazingly good. Let's just transport you to another country where no one goes by the law, where no one lives by anything that is good or right or holy. You can live in that country and you can be free because it's not what's outside of you to worry about, it's what you let in. You've got people walking down the street and they're 20 years old and they're all dressed up as zombies and everything walking around. Let them walk. I will walk in the name of the Lord my God forever and ever. I've made a choice. The whole world's going to laugh at you. They're going to say, this isn't real. This witch is, it's just a bit of fun. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. I take it serious. I'm going to ask you, are you going to laugh at the Bible? I showed you the Bible. I showed you the verses, didn't I? Have no fellowship with this stuff. Have nothing to do with it. You going to laugh at it? Proverbs 14:9 says this, fools make a mock at sin. Are you a fool? I hope you're not. But if you want your children to know Christ, if you want them to love that which is good, if you want your family and your own life to be one that does true good and that loves God, then follow after Christ in your daily life. Make the things He did what you do in your thoughts, in your habits and in your living. Take His commandments seriously, like abstain from all appearance of evil. Imagine going to work. Here's a doctor. Here's a doctor. And he has to work Halloween day. And he comes in and he's got a knife stuck in his chest. And he's got dried blood all over it. And he's got a gash going across from the mouth up. It's all, you know, it's all fake. But he goes there. Can you imagine him trying to treat the patients? Turn over now, I'm going to check your respiratory. My knife is getting in the way. Hold on. You wouldn't expect that, would you? And you know what? As a Christian, I would never expect another Christian to be walking, talking, acting like a devil. And neither does God. Don't laugh at the Bible, man. Are you even born again? When light comes into your life, when things like this are preached, it may be hard. You may squirm a little bit. You know, if you're saved, you go, yes, he's right. It just happens. Spirit testifies unto our spirit that we're the son, we're the children of God. We just agree. We may not like it, but we agree. But if you hate what I'm saying, I'm going to ask you this. Are you saved? If this is just too much for you, say, oh, this is too strict, too harsh. Are you kidding? 150 years ago, nobody ever messed with witches. No, it's only happened in the last 100 years that Halloween became anything of a Western activity, and only within the last 30, 40 years do people dress up like this. This is really something very new. It hadn't always been this way. Don't keep it going. It's time to stop it. Amen? Let's replace it, especially in our lives. But it begins where you say, you know, Lord, I'm not saved. If you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to end up full of every unclean spirit. You need to be born again. I got saved 35 years ago, Yeah, I still sin. Yeah, things still tempt me. I still struggle against attacks of the devil, a whole range of it. But I love light. I love walking in the light. I love good people. I love being around Christian people, messed up as they are, as we are. Because I've been changed. I hope you've been saved. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads in prayer.